Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
So they don't want to have a conversation about what it is that you were trying to say. It's all about that you interrupted. You didn't let them finish. That their point was much more important than whatever it was that you were going to try to say. And now you're off on this tangent, all about that you interrupted them. And maybe it's that they didn't like the tone of how you said it. Narcissists hear tones like dogs hear whistles. So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung, and I'm so glad that you're here. If you don't know me, I am an attorney and the best-selling author of a couple of books, Negotiate Like You Matter and Breaking Free, a Step-by-Step Divorce Guide. And I've helped so many people in my practice and in my shows and in my YouTube go from these crazy lives of drama, trauma, and chaos and help them to step into lives of freedom, possibility, and purpose. And I try to help you guys do the same thing right here on this podcast and in all of the other things that I do. So I'm so glad that you're here. And this episode is an especially interesting one. It is called Narcissist Favorite Sayings. And I actually posted the video version of this particular topic on my YouTube. And it quickly went to being one of my most popular episodes of my YouTube right away. You know, within the first few hours, it had thousands of views. So I know that this is something that really hits a chord for people. So we're going to talk about a narcissist's favorite sayings. And what I really want you to understand about narcissists is that everything for them comes from this inner place that is a very scared, fragile little ego. That is the biggest not-so-secret, which is that narcissists are actually the most scared little creatures on the planet. They do a lot of things to try to make it look like the problem is you and the problem is not them, because they don't want you to see that the problem is them. So, you know, a narcissist is a person who not only feels entitled and treats people badly, but also is a person that has no sense of empathy. So for those of you who don't watch my YouTube channel on a regular basis, first of all, why don't you? I highly recommend that you subscribe to my channel and subscribe here as well. But for those of you who watch me on a regular basis, you know that I talk a lot about how narcissists actually were traumatized or something happened to them when they were children, maybe when they were 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, something like that. And it caused them to start seeing the world as a scary place, as a place they had to survive, as a place that they had to manipulate in order to be able to get anything that they wanted. So they started at a very young age at manipulating and lying. So, you know, for those of you who might have read Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, you know that he talks about this 10,000 hours of time is what you need to become an expert at something. And it's kind of become sort of part of the regular vernacular, regular conversation in life, you know, where we all talk about, oh, you need 10,000 hours to get to become an expert at something. Well, narcissists have spent way more than 10,000 hours becoming experts at being pathological liars and master manipulators and doing all the things that, you know, that are really not so great about narcissists and why most people don't really like being around them very much. So what happens is that narcissists have no inner sense of value. I often say that they're sort of like the hollow chocolate Easter bunnies, where they kind of look nice on the outside and you wonder what's going on in the inside, and you tap on it and, oh, there's nothing there. So, and remember that all people want to feel seen, heard, and know that we matter. That's part of being a human being. If you're a human being on the planet, you want to feel seen, heard, and know that you matter. But for a lot of us as human beings, we have an inner sense of value of some sort. And so remember, it's a continuum. Narcissism is really on the extreme end of the continuum of just being a human being in general. So at the far end of that continuum is a person who has no inner sense of value and also is not able to feel anything for other human beings. They're just so caught up in that feeling of needing to feed their ego that they just don't have any, there's no space in there to feel anything for anyone else, because it's actually like this scarcity mentality that if I care for anybody else or if I give to anybody else, then I won't have it. I won't get it. They're basically toddlers walking around in adult bodies. So it makes it very, very difficult to be in a relationship with them. And so most often they don't have long-term relationships, although I've heard stories of people who've been with covert narcissists and other types of narcissists for years and years and years before the rug was pulled out or the cover came off, and suddenly those of you who are in these relationships have realized, oh my goodness, that's what's going on. And that's what I try to teach people in my work. I've been pretty honest about the fact that I've been a victim of a couple of covert narcissists. And if you want to learn more about my story with that, check out the podcast episode where I talk about it can happen to anybody. That, you know, covert passive-aggressive narcissists are everywhere and they're really hard to spot until you are absolutely under their web of control, which is a horrendous place to be and a really hard to get out of. So I have a personal crusade going and a mission to educate people on narcissists and how to understand them, how to recognize them, and most importantly, how to create a plan to escape from the relationships if that is what you want to do, and also negotiate with them. And I have a whole program on how to negotiate with narcissists and actually get what you want in that realm. So let's talk about narcissists' favorite sayings. So remember that a narcissist likes to devalue, likes to judge, likes to put people down. They like to make sure that everyone in the room knows that they're better than you. But what's really going on with a narcissist inside is that they feel smaller than everybody else. As I said, they have no inner sense of value. So what they do is they try to get supply, narcissistic supply, in every interaction that they have with other human beings. And narcissistic supply is any kind of thing that feeds their ego. So narcissistic supply can be the same kinds of things that feed anybody's ego, like compliments and money and respect and prestige and adulation. But the underbelly of narcissistic supply is the part that just makes it so traumatizing to be around them and be in relationship with them. And that is that they devalue and deflect and debase people and deny things and project upon things and do all that sort of thing, which is pretty awful. So, but remember that inside they're actually super, super scared, super scared. So number one is you interrupted me. Or you didn't let me finish what I was saying. This is a great way for the narcissist to deflect and make sure that you feel devalued. Whatever point it is that you were trying to make, you interrupted them. So now the conversation comes back to all about them. And then what they'll do is they'll actually start having a whole conversation around how horrible it was that you interrupted them. And let's just talk about that you interrupted rather than talk about whatever it was that you were actually trying to make a point about. So they don't want to have a conversation about what it is that you were trying to say. It's all about that you interrupted. You didn't let them finish. That their point was much more important than whatever it was that you were going to try to say. And now you're off on this tangent, all about that you interrupted them. And maybe it's that they didn't like the tone of how you said it. Narcissists hear tones like dogs hear whistles. So, you know, maybe it was the attitude, maybe it was the way you said it. But now let's get off on a tangent about that instead of whatever it was that you had an issue with. So whatever it is, they're going to come up with some reason that the point that you were trying to make at that moment has no value. In fact, we don't even need to go there because of the way that you presented it or how you presented it or when you presented it or that you interrupted or whatever it is. It's just a way of actually saying whatever you said doesn't matter right now or probably ever, actually. So it's just a way of saying whatever you said, I'm not listening. I don't care about that. So the second thing that they'll say is just because I didn't. So for example, just because I didn't do what you said when you wanted me to. This is a way of narcissistic manipulation, of course, since I told you they are master manipulators and they've been doing this for many, many years. And so they're basically trying to make you feel guilty, like, oh, just because they didn't do it exactly the way you wanted, or just because I didn't do it exactly when you wanted to. Trying to make you feel like you're the controlling one, trying to make you feel like you're the one who has the issue, like maybe you're the uptight one and you don't want to be, you don't want to be uptight person. You don't want to be accused of being uptight. So now suddenly you feel guilty or you feel self-conscious or maybe you feel like, oh, maybe I didn't present that the right way. So you end up pulling back going, well, I didn't mean that you had to do it right now or I didn't mean that you didn't do it good enough or whatever. So now suddenly you're apologizing, which is exactly what they want because they want to turn it back on you. Then they're not the ones with the problem. It's you. You're the one with the problem. And that's their projection of whatever their issues are. They have to be projected back onto you or somebody else. They can't actually take responsibility for whatever it is that you're trying to hold them accountable for. So it's got to be deflecting and denying and pushing that off onto somebody else, whether it's you. Usually it's probably you, but it could be whoever else they can push it onto, whoever else they can blame it onto. So that's number two.
Coming up, more with Rebecca Zung on the narcissist's favorite saying.
They just turn it around and basically say, hey, because you've done it before, because you have that issue. So now, you know, it's about that. Let's not talk about me and my problem. Let's talk about you and your problem. Let's certainly not make me responsible for anything, including my behavior, because we're certainly not going to have that conversation. Let's talk about you and your problems. Not everyone needs full representation by an attorney on retainer. In fact, sometimes lawyering up can make things worse. At Hello Divorce, you get the best of all worlds. You get technology and legal professionals. You get some help along the way, and you get to do the parts yourself that you want to do yourself. Just $99 a month, cancel at any time. You can use their divorce navigator, think TurboTax for divorce, to prepare all of your legal forms. Right now, it's available in California, but it will be expanding soon to other states. Sign up free and get a 15-minute free intro call and access to loads of curated resources, tools, and worksheets designed to make the divorce process affordable, transparent, empowering, and successful. Use the code HELLO50 to get $50 off toward anything you'd like. Just go to HelloDivorce.com to get started today. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high-conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can learn more about how to deal with a narcissist in episodes such as Magic Words, How to Get What You Want from a Narcissist with Lindsay Ellison.
Before we even get into the nuances of the book is we have to look at narcissists with a completely different lens.
Yeah, there's no rationalizing with the irrational.
Exactly.
I mean,
the lens is basically that they are not as strong as you think that they are.
Oh, yeah. That's so true. That is so true. I love that.
They're not
that.
As strong.
That is
and
so good.
And in fact,
good.
You are the strongest one. You are the stronger one. I always say that.
And now we return to today's show.
So number three is they'll say something like, what about your issues? So this is now projecting it back onto you. So when you try to say, hey, you didn't take out the trash, or you didn't pick the kids up on time, or you said you would make dinner and you didn't, or you said you would finish this project and it's not done, or, you know, something like that. Some kind of thing that, you know, they said they were going to do and they didn't, or there was some expectation that they would complete something and didn't, then when you're pointing that out to them, then they say either that they didn't do it, or they'll say they didn't do it because there was this other problem, you know, some excuse, something happened. Somebody didn't get them something on time that they needed in order to get it, or it was your fault in some way. It was your fault because you didn't remind them, or they might just gaslight you and just say, we didn't ever even have that conversation. But basically, if you say, what about your issues? Then they'll say, yeah, but what about this? What about you? You said this. But, you know, you also have this problem, or you said this before, or it's okay because you've done that. So now it's not about, you know, holding them accountable. It's somehow okay because, you know, in their warped mind, you've done it before too, or something like that. So, you know, they just turn it around and basically say, hey, because you've done it before, because you have that issue. So now, you know, it's about that. Let's not talk about me and my problem. Let's talk about you and your problem. Let's certainly not make me responsible for anything, including my behavior, because we're certainly not going to have that conversation. Let's talk about you and your problems. So the next one is, I'm sorry, what more do you want from me? I call this the narcissistic faux apology. And I've actually done videos on this about, whether a narcissist actually means their apology, if they even apologize at all. So if you haven't checked out my video on that, you might want to check that out. And it's called Does a Narcissist Apologize? And if they do they mean it? And in that video, I actually talk a lot more about the narcissist faux apology and what's actually going on when a narcissist does actually apologize. But a lot of times what you'll hear is, I'm sorry I couldn't be perfect for you. I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'm sorry that it didn't go the way you wanted it to exactly. I'm sorry I couldn't be exactly what you wanted. Something like that, something kind of, sarcastic or turning it on you, that's not really an apology. In case you obviously didn't figure that out on your own, that's actually a faux apology. That's a manipulation where they're trying to get you to feel guilty, maybe, or feel stupid for what it is that you're bringing up as an issue. So that's definitely, one of the things that they do, but it's a manipulation, again, turning it back on you because now you're the one that goes, no, I didn't mean that you're not perfect. No, I didn't mean that whatever. So now here you are again, assuaging their ego back on them, back on this, subject of making them feel better, giving them narcissistic supply. Get that focus off of whatever that is that you want to talk about. Let's get it back onto what we need to do, and that's give them narcissistic supply. The next thing they'll say is, you made me. You made me cheat on you. You made me act irresponsibly. You made me have to move out. You made me have to lose my job. Whatever bad thing that's going on that they did, it's your fault. You did it. You made me. You made me cheat on you because if you had just, given me sex when I wanted it, then I wouldn't have had to go get it outside. You made me lose my job because you weren't, helping me out at home. You weren't making things available for me. You weren't doing the things that you should have done. In other words, if you had been better, or if you had been less, or if you had been more, or if you had been whatever, then they wouldn't have had to have been irresponsible. I mean, it could even be, as awful as, you made me hit you, or you made me throw things, or you made me, because you got me so angry, because you accused me of things, because you used a tone with me that you shouldn't have used. Whatever their bad behavior is, it's definitely your fault and on your shoulders that this happened. I mean, including things like cheating or, maybe it's that, they don't make enough money or whatever it is that you might have an issue with them about, they'll turn around and say, you made me, it's your fault, and project it back onto you. So, and the last one that I have for you today is you're the only one who thinks that. So what narcissists often try to do is, line up flying monkeys, gaslight you, all that sort of thing. So trying to make you feel bad, trying to make you feel like you're the only one that thinks that way because everyone else that you know, the whole neighborhood or all the coworkers or everyone in the family, they think that that person is incredible or amazing or just normal and a wonderful guy or a fantastic wife or, all of the things that they want the world to think. And because they've lined up their flying monkeys, and covert narcissists are especially really, really good at this. And again, you know, check out my episodes on covert narcissists because I talk a lot about, you know, the methodologies and things that strategies that they employ. But they're really good at lining up these flying monkeys or triangulating, getting these people to be on their side so that you feel alone, you feel isolated. And, you know, what they're really trying to do is make you think that you're nuts, that you're the only one that feels that way about this person. You're the only one that thinks this way about a certain thing that they're trying to convince you of. So therefore, you're the weird one. You're the oddball. And so you go, well, I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be odd. I don't want to be the odd man out. So I guess I'll go along with everyone and everything, you know, whatever it is that the narcissist is trying to convince you of. So that's, you know, these are some of the phrases that narcissists use. In my video, Phrases to Disarm a Narcissist, I actually talk about the phrases to use to disarm them. And if you want to know more about how to communicate with a narcissist, come on over and join me in my free webinar, which is the 3 must-have secrets to communicating with a narcissist. And I'll definitely drop a link to that below as well. Lots and lots of great information in that so that you can start to shift the dynamic when you're dealing with them, because when they're using all of these crazy phrases, it's really, it leaves your brain like feeling like scrambled eggs, and you do feel very isolated. So the other thing that you can do if you are wanting to connect with lots of other people who are dealing with exactly what you're dealing with, and you want to have support, and you want to have somebody you can maybe vent to or get some feedback from other people who are experiencing what you're experiencing, come on over and join me in my free private Facebook group. It's called Narcissist Negotiators with Rebecca Zung. And I will make sure that there's a link for that in the show notes as well. So thanks so much for joining me on this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. Remember, today is a great day to start negotiating your best life. And I will be in touch with you either in the next episode of this podcast, or I will see you in the comments of my YouTube videos. Thanks so much for joining me today. Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.